We are joined right now by a Baltimore Ravens football player. You see what I did there? He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He blocks for a rushing attack that has topped 100 rushing yards in 39 consecutive games. That is the second longest streak of its kind in NFL history. He's got four career TD receptions. He's got 18 career tackles. He has a sack. He has a pass defended since arriving in the NFL. Check these numbers out. 208 tackles, 47.5 tackles for a loss, 18 sacks, 11 passes defended, 3 forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, and 2 block kicks at UMaine. He was an all-conference defensive lineman in college. He was undrafted in 2017 out of UMaine. Patrick Ricard is my guest. Pat, wait a minute. Where'd he go? I don't have anything lit here, so put it up on your end. Hey, Pat, sorry about that. What's going on? Nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Dude, good. Good. I'm glad to see you. All right. So normally I would ask you how you're doing and how the offseason's going, but I saw yesterday you tweet that your wife just started work once again, so you've got the house to yourself. How was that first day of just getting Pat time and having the house?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. She, we've been together quite often lately, and just for her to start her career, and you know, and she's worked so hard to become a PA, so you know, finally starting her first, well, she started twice, so this is her first day back in a while, so it's just great, man, for her to start doing that, and for me to kind of just have the house to myself. You know, I had a friend come over the other day, we just hung out and watched TV, played little video games. It was a good day, and she's working again today, so it's another day off, but after that she's home for a couple more days, so no, it's been a good offseason so far.
I was going to say, that is a good day. Good day for you, good day for her. Now, I had Kyle Juszczyk on the show a few weeks back, and we were talking about how he approaches the first few weeks of the offseason. When you're playing fullback, obviously, you're going to dole out a ton of punishment. You're going to take some as well. What about you? How do you approach recovering from the season when you start preparing for the next one? Do you take some time off, or do you get right back into it?
It's always take care of my body right away. So what I try to do is handle my physicals and all my, you know, exams to make sure nothing's crazy going on. So the off season, I can just, you know, get healthy and then attack my training. So that's the first thing, making sure nothing's seriously going wrong with me. And then I probably take like at least 2 weeks off and just let my body just relax, recover. And then I start slowly, getting involved in my training. I don't just jump right into it. I usually start out with like body weight and band workouts for a week or two. And then I start getting gradually more into the weightlifting. And then, you know, running comes along with it. I usually follow the head strength coach's program here with the Ravens. They send us a program to follow and the whole schedule, and I just follow that. And that's what I've been doing ever since I've been with the team, pretty much.
Man, that's a professional approach. I mean, that's a man with a process, and you're sticking to your process, Pat. What about nutrition? How, I mean, do you also take a couple of weeks off and kind of eat what you want, or do you not really deviate that far from what you're supposed to eat and what you're supposed to consume?
Right after the season, I mean, you got to enjoy yourself a little bit. You know, don't go super crazy because you don't want to get super out of shape. So when you start training again, you're just, you know, just killing yourself trying to get back to being in shape. So, you know, for sure, definitely, you know, have a couple meals you weren't having in the season, but it's nothing too crazy. You can't be eating that much either right now because you'll start gaining weight like crazy because, you know, we're not being as active as we normally are in season or training. So, yeah, I definitely take nutrition pretty seriously. I mean, you have to at this level. It gives you an edge or it can hurt you. So, you know, try to stay on top of those things all throughout the year.
Pat, that's the thing. Seems like when you're in your business and everybody, I mean, almost literally everybody is looking for an edge. How the hell do you get an edge?
I mean, I think it's learning from guys who are quote unquote pros, right? You see what they do. You see how they've been in the league for so long, or you see the players who are great in what they do. You know, for me, my edge is doing the little things, the little extra things. I was an undrafted guy, so that's kind of been my MO since I've been in the league. I had to go above and beyond and do things that some guys haven't. So for me, recovery is so important for me in my game, especially nutrition as well. But, I mean, it's anything you can try to find that edge, regardless. Maybe it's film, recovery, nutrition. Maybe it's a new product or a new supplement. You know, there's so many different ways to get it, and I think that's definitely a key to long success in the NFL.
It's a good answer. To me, it's what you're saying to me is it's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. Like, you're all in all day, every day, except for that time when you take that time to rest or recover. When you talk about professionals, guys that you can learn from, guys you can emulate, there's a lot of guys in your locker room who are like that. Can you give me a guy or two who's a real pro that you respect, that you've learned from in terms of process?
Yeah. You know, there's two guys that come to my mind. They're both retired now, but they've had phenomenal careers, and it was Marshall Yanda and Eric Weddle.
Right.
I mean, those two guys, you know, they're constantly, especially Eric. I mean, he would probably work out in the weight room probably 7 days a week. And I'm not exaggerating. He's there every 6 a.m. He's in there. He's like one of the first guys was in there. And that was year like 13 for him. So it's just to see that as a young player, seeing that work ethic at year 13 and the career he's had, it just shows that he's a pro. And then same thing with Yanda. I mean, the way he just approached the game, just in general, just how his mentality of just flipping that switch on game day and just becoming an absolute maniac and just leaving it all out on the field. And, you know, those two things, everything Weddle would do off the field, you know, in the weight room, he was always in the tubs every day in the sauna, you know, those things. And then the way Marshall would just approach the game was just, that's how I kind of learn, and I take those pieces from different players and different coaches, and you know, just try to emulate that and be more of a pro yourself.
Patrick Ricard is joining us. Pat, I'm glad you mentioned those two guys. Weddle's my guy. I remember when Weddle first came up, he'd been coming on this show for years and years and years. I absolutely love the guy. Yanda, I mean, you talk about a pro. What about the way this guy's completely reinvented himself and his body since he retired? When you look at that guy right now, what do you think? Because he looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks like he took 10 years off of his life.
Right.
He doesn't look like the same person. I mean, that just shows you his work ethic. I mean, for him to be, you know, a big guy over 300 pounds to just be a slim, fit-looking dad, like, out of nowhere, and no beard either. Like, it's just, it's insane. I was pretty shocked when I saw that picture. It was, like, right after retirement, too. He dropped that weight instantly, and definitely miss playing with him, and I hope he's doing well with his family right now.
Such a pro, and like he dropped that weight like in 60 days. Like, he retired and then had a plan and then executed the plan. Now, you go back,
right.
Your story is amazing. Like, you're great to talk to because I haven't even gotten to the stuff yet. I can just follow you around, which means you're a good interview, so thanks for that. But your high school coach, Andrew Tuccio, was telling The Athletic, quote, honestly, his want and need is to hit. He went on to say that you and your brother Chris, quote, the two of them, it's like they had a button in their forehead. When they hit somebody, it was like an endorphin release. They were hit junkies. They wanted to hit people. That's like an amazing quote, actually. Is it like that? Is it like a drug? Is it like an endorphin release when you hit somebody?
Absolutely. I mean, we're playing a sport where we can be as violent as possible and you get cheered for it. I mean, you can't do this anywhere else. You get arrested on the streets or you get in trouble. For us, we get paid for it. We get, you know, you get scholarships, you get whatever. So growing up, I'm from a small town, Spencer, Massachusetts, went to a small high school. Andrew Tuccio comes in my freshman year, so he's a brand new coach, and he just kind of had that culture of, we're going to be a hard-hitting football team. We're going to be physical. We're going to be disciplined. And it was a close group of football players, and grew up with all these guys my whole life playing sports with them, and we had a bunch of different groups of brothers, like actual blood brothers. My brother, we had twins who was a quarterback, a running back. We had close brothers who were linemen. So we had all phases of the game, and we all loved to hit, and it was just that culture we had. And you know, and I just carried that throughout college and now in the NFL, and it just kind of embedded in me.
It's amazing. I introduced you as a football player, and the reason for that, you went to UMaine, you had a huge career as a defensive lineman, but then only two teams showed up at your pro day, and the Ravens weren't even one of them. At that time, what kind of thoughts were you having about the NFL, and how confident were you that you could play at the next level?
Yeah, you know, you could look at those things and be like, man, my odds are pretty bleak here, you know, what am I doing, blah, 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 but I think as soon as I signed with my agency, Buddy Baker kind of just gave me guidance and just like, just cancel all those noises out and just control the things you can control and just focus on what you can do right now. And for me, coming to UMaine, I knew it was, you know, it's a tough challenge to make it to the NFL, but I've had teammates that I played with, teammates that were there before me who've been in the NFL, made it, had careers. So I kind of got to see, you know, what shouldn't you do, what should you do to get to that level. And, Yeah, I mean, it was quite the journey for sure.
All right, so I want to be clear about this again. You had a great career as a D lineman when you were there. You go undrafted. You land with the Ravens. The story goes that at one point, offensive coordinator Greg Roman saw you in the hallway during OTAs. He said, quote, "Hey, I want to try you at fullback. I want you to line up. Just split the crotch of the tackle and kick out the first guy on the edge." End of quote. Is that how that happened? And if so, what was your reaction when he brought that up?
Story is very close. So pretty much I was in OTAs for about a week my rookie year, only playing defensive line. So, you know, the coaches have they've seen me for about a week and, you know, and weightlifting, running around and, you know, on practice or whatever. So and at that point, Kyle Juszczyk, he just signed his big deal with San Fran that offseason. So the Ravens didn't have a fullback. So all they had was an undrafted rookie in my class as a fullback and then a running back who they converted into fullback. And I think after a week, they kind of saw those guys, evaluated them, and thought, let's kind of see what else is there. Let's try to, you know, think outside the box. So a week later, Greg Roman approaches me in the hallway, like in the middle of the day before practice, and he's like, "Hey, Pat, we want to try you up a fullback. You're going to line up in the eye, and it's going to be like 90 lead. And you're just going to go kick out you're going to lead up on the mic." I go, "All right." And I didn't play offense in college. And the offense you ran in high school, I was a fullback and tight end for. It was a double wing offense, so it's not even a normal offense at all. It's all gap scheme. It's all very different than normal pro style offense. So I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do it. Of course, like I'm gonna draft a guy, try and do whatever I can to make the team." And practice comes around, rep happens, and for me, it was kind of just it felt natural almost, like I've done it before because I have played the position. So luckily for me, I made the most opportunity and I did a good job. And our three technique got in the backfield. I like shoved him as soon as the ball snapped. I like shoved him out of the way, let up on the mic, and our back just followed me. And me being smart, trying to make a name for myself, trying to make people around me notice me. You know, first week there, I stand right next to Harbaugh. As soon as the rep is over, I stand right next to him, and he's like, "Hey, that looks pretty natural right there." And I'm like, "Yeah, I used to do it in high school." And I think as soon as I said that, he kind of just gears started turning in his head, thinking like, "Oh, okay, he's done this before. Okay, it looks pretty good. Let's see what else you can do." So then after that, I started to get, you know, a couple more plays as a fullback and a tight end because Greg Roman was the tight ends coach and run game coordinator, but I was still playing defensive line. So that's kind of how the two-way thing kind of happened. And then, you know, the rest is history at that point.
It's an amazing story, actually. Patrick Ricard joining us. I was going to say to you, like, so you didn't play offense in college. You're learning a position, even though you played it, you know, way back in the day. But you're learning a new position in the NFL. But at the same time, you're playing defensive line. So what's it like juggling both those spots? I know you're going to do whatever you can to stick, but what's it like to juggle both those spots?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot. I mean, I had to know. I had to learn the game plan every week for offense, defense, and special teams.
Wow.
And I was a rookie, so I had to deal with all the rookie stuff, still going through an NFL season. And for offense, for me at that point, in high school when I did play offense, it was all gap scheme. We didn't run any zone. We barely passed the ball. We ran the ball like every play. So, you know, learning all routes, learning all different schemes, just different plays like zone blocking, you know, different things like that, and still learning some tight end stuff. And then it's like, oh, on top of that, you have to go do this against the elite players in the world who've been playing defensive positions their whole lives. Me, it's like, oh, this is your first time doing it, Pat. Let's see what you can do. And it's pretty much how it was. And I was just absorbing everything I could and just trying to get better on defensive line, fullback, and special teams. And I think the biggest thing, it was just a lot of communicating. I had to communicate with almost every single coach in the organization. Most players aren't like that. I was like John Harbaugh. I was going from starting out on special teams in the morning and then going from offense. And then in the middle of the offensive team meeting, I would go across the hallway and go to the defensive team meeting. And then I would go from the offensive walkthrough and then I would go to the defensive walkthrough. And it was a lot. I did that for 3 years. It was a way for me to, you know, be on the team, be active on game day. And I mean, it was fun. It was fun to do both, but I'm definitely happy to be playing one side of the ball full time right now.
So we come full circle. Honestly, I've never heard of anything like that before. Like, I had to learn all three sets, all three phases, the game plan for all three phases. So that brings us to where we are right now. You're a two-time Pro Bowler, and that's a hell of a journey for a guy who was undrafted out of college, who played a different position. I know you're not going to rest on your laurels. You made that very clear at the very top. But how much pride is there in what you've accomplished so far and the position you've put yourself in, and that you had to grind that out and earn everything?
Yeah. So for me, like you said, I had to really earn everything that has been given to me. You know, I had to earn a spot on the team. I had to earn playing time on game day. And then I had to earn a second contract, earn a Pro Bowl selection, earn it again. And that's just kind of how I've been approaching it, just every year trying to prove myself. And, you know, it feels amazing. I mean, I never thought I'd be in the NFL. And now here I am financially doing okay for me and my family and making a name for myself and my town. And so many people look up to me. And I think the biggest thing, you know, with the Pro Bowls and everything like that is just respect. I think players are starting to respect me, fans, coaches. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, people respect your game. Like, nothing else really matters. You know, I'm obviously going to try to win as many games as we possibly can, but people respect who I am and how I play. Then, you know, there's nothing bigger than that, I think.
It sounds kind of cliche and trite, like something people say but don't mean, but you can't put a price tag on that, right? Respect. You cannot put a price tag on respect. And then finally, I would say, I bet I have to think you approach it as if not only do you have to earn it and re-earn it, you got to earn it every single day, right? Every single day.
Yes. Yes. I mean, every single day you're in the building, they're trying to replace you. And you have to perform at a level to where they're not going to replace you. You're not going to give them a reason to replace you. So it can be stressful, but that's the business, and that's how it is. I mean, it is what it is, and you just have to be on top of your game mentally, physically, emotionally, everything, because there are people who are trying to come in here and take your job, and there's people whose job is to find someone to take your job. So, you know, it's just a blessing, and just be grateful for every day to have this job.
That's a great message. I love that message because, like, you know how it was when you were coming up. You were trying to stick and take somebody's job, and now you know somebody's trying to take your job. And as you pointed out, there are people paid to find people to take other people's jobs. Extremely well said. Patrick Ricard, my guest. Pat, really appreciate it. That was fun. That was a great interview. I usually don't keep guests that long, but you were rolling, so I want to play that hot hand, too. Let's make sure we do that again soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
That was a blast. Good job, Pat. Nice to meet you. Great to have you. Patrick Ricard joining us.